I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
What is up, Cougar Nation? Welcome on in to a post-game edition of the Cougar Sports Saturday and Cougar Tracks podcast. Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte. I was in Pullman for BYU's win over the Washington State Cougars, 21-19. The Cougs in blue get it done, and we're breaking down the game here on the show. And if you haven't done so already, subscribe to our podcast feeds on kslsports.com and all major podcasting platforms. Matt, what's your feeling about this 2-point win for the Cougs in blue?
You know, there were certainly some elements that were discouraging. I think the missed tackles is a major problem. I think that was one of the takeaways where it feels like on every Borgie touchdown, Mitch, that could have been prevented with some tackling. And the guy just kept making guys miss. I don't have the number in front of me, but there had to have been 15 to 20 missed tackles. Like, it was pretty crazy. On a positive note, though, I thought the offensive line when Connor Pay came in at center played much better. Like, when you look at the box score, it's easy to say Algier was great and he did it all by himself. And that might be true, but because he's an NFL guy. I know that you and I feel that way. But I thought the offensive line looked as good as they have since Utah State, and that's without Harris the Chance, and that was without James Empey for the whole second half. Connor Bay was great at center, and I thought they looked really good in the second half. So that's an encouraging sign going forward that the offensive line looked a lot like they did at the beginning of the year.
It was a quick game, too. It felt that third quarter went really fast. It had some decent tempo as far as not many incomplete passes. A lot of rushes between Algier and Max Borgie on the other side. So it was a fairly quick football game. And you make a great point about Connor Pay, because I thought his contributions were huge. It was a bummer to see Empey in the medical tent on crutches, because it feels like the latter part of his career, he's now piling up these injuries. His first 2 years of his career, James Empey, he was never hurt. And then last year was the first time he suffered an injury, and then this year it's been multiple injuries have set him back, and it looked like, from what I saw on the sideline, his ankle was getting iced up, and he was on crutches in the post game. And then Gunnar Romney goes down, and then you see contributions from Samson Nakua. Keanu Hill got some time, so BYU's depth in those spots rose the occasion and helped BYU get this win. But this was a hard-fought game because, like Washington State, BYU was facing their own adversity, if you will, more centered around on the field rather than off. But this was a critical win, Matt, because had they lost this game, I think you would have subtly gone from, okay, this is going to be a special year, maybe 10 wins, to suddenly, is this a disappointing year? Because that really is where what was hanging in the balance had BYU lost this game, but they rose to the occasion.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that you bring that up, because if you lose this game, we'll always have the Utah win, and the streak is over, so I don't think you can use the word disappointing in a year in which you snapped the streak, but being 5-0 and then losing at home to Boise State, who then the next week loses to Air Force at home, and then losing to a Washington State team who fired their coach, you'd be wondering what happened, because you could have seen a much different outcome, but you get the win against Washington State. And I think it kind of puts BYU back on track. And it's nice that they were able to win a game like this in which they didn't play great. Defensively, they did enough to win, but there was dropped interceptions. There was missed tackles. Like, the game really didn't need to be this close, but you don't play the best football and you get a win on the road, and now you're 4-0 against the Pac-12. And it's the first year, I can't believe this, first year, Mitch, that BYU has ever beaten four P5s in one season. So that is a significant thing, and they still have an opportunity to get a few more with Virginia and USC at the end of the year. So, but I love the point you bring up, Mitch, because it's, you know, if you lose this three losses in a row, you're wondering what the heck happened. Now you get a win, and you're bowl eligible, and you're back on the right path.
How crazy is it, too, that Washington State, they're 4-4 now, and three of their four losses are against teams in the state of Utah. Utah State, Utah, and BYU yeah. defeated Wazoo. They do not want to play any teams from the state of Utah. I will say, quick note on Pullman and Martin Stadium. It kind of felt like just a supersized version of Utah State. Pullman is truly just a college town, and I'm not going to lie, I don't know why this always happens, but in the college football world, we've always been inundated with, well, BYU, you're not part of the haves. You're an afterthought. You're not Power Five. But then you get into Pullman, you go, oh, this is Power Five football. It's a half empty stadium at kickoff. No one's here except BYU fans. And you're like, oh, this is Power Five football, I guess, on the West Coast. In Pac-12 land, this is and I will say too, not the red carpet being rolled out for BYU in Pac-12 country. Big 12, a little more Southern hospitality than in at Pac-12 country. No bad things in the stands. It was pretty cordial and all things like that. But again, Pac-12 scene compared to Big 12 scene, it's just it's a different vibe, and you can just sense it at the stadium. I enjoy some Big 12 hospitality a little bit better than Pac-12.
Yeah, well, I just think that the Pac-12, it's never been a passionate conference with football, and yeah. I'm not taking a dig at the Pac-12. It's just you and I have traveled from coast to coast watching college football, and the more east you get, the more intense it gets. Like, think about that experience we had in Knoxville for the Tennessee game a couple years ago. You know, I was tailgating on the river, man. I was eating meat on a riverboat. Like, it's just a different feel. So, you know, I guess it is what it is with the Pac-12, but it certainly feels good as a, you know, we cover BYU and have for quite some time, for a conference that never wanted anything to do with BYU. They always wanted to keep BYU at an arm's distance, you know. Let's say they do beat USC. You go 5-0, and the next year you get to play at Oregon. If you can somehow get that game, you finish out the independent era with a bunch of wins over a conference that didn't want you. That's pretty sweet.
It really would be. And BYU is feeling pretty good right now, 6-2 on the season after taking down Washington State 21-19. And defensively, there was some adjustments this week personnel-wise. A ton of Jacob Boren, and he ends up being the leading tackler for BYU. I was a little bit stunned, Matt, to think that, okay, you're going to have some personnel changes, and Jacob Boren and Mitchell Price are two of the top guys playing that nickel spot. You know, interesting to see that development. And by the final stats, it worked out for BYU. I mean, Washington State, two of their touchdowns came on the opening drive in the first quarter, opening offensive drive for them in the third quarter. But outside of that, the defense played pretty well today.
Yeah, and they were going deep into the defensive back position, but I thought there were some nice adjustments made where, you know, on that opening drive at Washington State, it was primarily three down linemen and missed tackles and guys running wild. And then there was, I think, an adjustment to where there was a lot more zone, and I thought that there was a couple times even where a blitz was brought and they still missed a tackle. But you know, at the end of the day, you know, this is a phrase, it's a sensitive phrase, Mitch, bend, don't break. But it worked again here where Washington State did move football at times, but Jaden Delora he's athletic and he's talented, but he's not the most patient, smart, waiting for the right, like he's the opposite of Jaren Hall. Jaren Hall made all the right plays. He took care of the football. It was never really in danger. That's not what Jaden Delora did. And against a bend don't break, I think you can have some success like Elisa Tuiaki saw, because Delora just was not patient enough in some moments, and BYU did a nice job.
Did you like the performance from Jaren Hall today? 15 of 20, 143 yards, 75% completion rate. How do you feel about Jaren's performance?
Love the performance. If you're criticizing Jaren Hall's performance, and you got issues, because the game plan was clear as day from the opening drive that they were going to establish the run.
Yeah.
And I didn't necessarily love that. I would have liked to have seen a more balanced attack, but it is what it is. That's not Jaren's fault, Mitch. So in the terms of what Aaron Roderick wanted to do, he executed it nearly perfect. 75%? That's, yeah, that's phenomenal. No turnovers. That's great. Like, I would love to have had your bold prediction on our pregame show be correct,
yeah,
but that just wasn't the game plan. But that wasn't the game plan.
Right.
So I thought that considering that they wanted to run the football and they were able to do so, 15 to 20, 143 yards, make a couple big plays. Like, I thought Jaren Hall was great.
Yeah, I love that Tyler Allgeier got 32 carries. There was two carries, though, where I wasn't thrilled with the decision to hand off to Allgeier in the second quarter, that third and 16, where they were basically settling for a field goal. And that just didn't fit the MO to me of what Aaron Roderick's about with aggressive play calling and having,
yes,
all back. I didn't like that. I understood a little bit more on third and five, because this was on the heels of the missed field goal by Oldroyd, which Oldroyd, by the way, what's getting into him? We could touch on that a little.
Yeah, we need to. Yeah.
But third and five, you hand it off. It's a two, you know, four down situation. And then fourth and two, they're giving a touch to Dallin Holker in the backfield on a reverse. I'm like, what is going on?
That was bad.
Backfield touch the whole season. They got a little cute with it there. Didn't like that. So it's kind of it's strange. This BYU team, 4-0 against Pac-12 squads. They're 6-2. Great record. Yet all these games that they've won, you can point to so many instances where it wasn't the prettiest thing, but hey, they're finding a way to get it done.
Well, and I think here's the positive is, yeah, they're getting wins, which is great, but there's a lot of guys that are going to be back next year.
Yep.
And there's some guys that are on the fence. You know, we'll have to see with Neil. We'll have to see with Gunner. I think Gunner's probably gone, but if he misses another 4 or 5 weeks and then he doesn't have the draft stock he wants, maybe he comes back. I don't know. But they're winning football games, and this was supposed to be a rebuilding year where some national people, you know, not to call anyone out, thought that they wouldn't even be bowl eligible and they would lose every single game to the Pac-12. Think about that.
Yeah.
So when you think about it in that perspective, you know, this is great that this team has yet to put together a full, complete game. They haven't done it. And I really, maybe with the first half of South Florida being the exception, have they even played a complete half? I don't know. It's been maybe a quarter here or a quarter there, but they're winning games. That's a good problem to have.
It really is, and I think it's always good to, until you get in the P5 ranks, it's nice to get wins over Power 5 teams any way you can get them, because – you know, Washington State, you look at their support staff, their staff director, I always point to it, but they have like 10 full-time assistants that are on the support staff beyond their coaching staff. We talked so much about their understaff with the coaches, but support staff, they had so many analysts that got elevated to position roles that they had that depth on their coaching staff to pull someone up, whereas BYU, they don't have that depth. So when you talk about resources, BYU is always at a disadvantage against these teams, and to still find a way to get victories against these P5s. And Washington State's been playing some good football. It gives you a lot of excitement and optimism about BYU football going into the Big 12 conference coming up in two more years. But the star of the game, obviously, Tyler Allgeier, he was fantastic. 32 carries, 191 yards, two touchdowns, and he sealed it with that third down play. I was on field level for that one. And it got pretty loud at Martin Stadium. I'm not going to lie. Washington State fans were dialed in for that moment on third down. But third and eight, I personally was thinking you're going to pass. Get aggressive. Let Jaron win it through the air. They had the stones to hand it off to Algier, and he put it on the back and got that first down. Great play by him and the offensive line.
Yeah, well, the offensive line, I think, for me is the MVP just because it felt like on maybe 25 or 27 of his 32 carries, he was getting to the linebackers before having any contact. That didn't happen against Boise State and Baylor, Mitch. He was getting met in the backfield over and over again. I don't care how good of a running back you are. If you're getting met with contact behind the line of scrimmage, there's nothing you can do. So this offensive line rose to the occasion. And I know we touched on him already, but Connor Pay, you know, there's some guys that are like this, and some guys are versatile and other guys are just specialists. And I think Connor Pay is a center. He's not a guard. He's not a tackle. He's a center. Like when he played center against Central Florida, he was phenomenal. He played center again today. Phenomenal. No missed snaps. Great blocking in the pass and the run game. So it sucks that James Empey's hurt. I know we've talked about this, but this is where Connor Pay belongs. Like, he's not a guard, and I think he proved that in the second half. And with him at center, I think this offensive line is going to regain form. I just, you know, the offensive line is such an interesting group. You know, it's, I don't know if fans, including myself, truly understand how it works, but so much of it is getting the right five, having a cohesive unit that can work together. And it just wasn't working the last couple of weeks, but it looked great in that second half with Connor Pay at center.
Offensive line's finally working. What isn't working, though, is the kicker spot. Jake Oldroyd is on a bit of a rut. Do you think there should be a competition now at kicker? Because they traveled three guys. They had Justin Smith and Cash Peterman. Maybe that's a little bit of, from what I gather, Jake Oldroyd, that week-by-week deal with his lower back injury. Now, though, I think there should be probably a competition because Oldroyd is just missing kicks now.
I wouldn't go to that extreme yet because none of his kicks have cost them a game, but he's clearly lacking the confidence. Like, think about when he came on in the Utah game and he kicked that field goal to put them up two scores, and there was just this swag, this celebration from Oldroyd. I haven't seen that since he missed that field goal at Utah State. He just seems tense, which it's unusual. And he talked about this on BYU TV's Deep Blue, where there's been some mental stuff. And I don't know if it's a combination of health and then that's affected his confidence, but he clearly does not look like the guy in 2020. I wouldn't say he's to the point where he deserves to lose his job, but man, it's frustrating with him because it looks like an NFL kicker 1 year and now he doesn't look good. So which is difficult because now when you, in 2020, when you got within the 30, it was like, okay, we're in scoring range. And now at the 25, you're thinking, do we even try a field goal right now? Because his misses have been off. We're not talking like, oh, he just barely misses it by a yard. They've been 5 to 10 yards off the post.
Yeah, and that's why I think there could be reason for a competition because the misses are just so far off. So we'll see. Hopefully Oldroyd can turn it around. Punting game is in a good spot with Rico. He had a field flipper, that 66-yarder in the first half. What a leg he's got. Rico is big time. But on that phase of the game was a difference. Ultimately, in this thing, Washington State, the PAT, they botched the snap, and the holder, Aussie punter, he clearly has never thrown a football in his life because a Washington State player was wide in the end zone. He just simply couldn't throw the football. Maybe he needs to dial up Tom Hackett for some trick play advice. That guy's never thrown a football, and BYU benefited.
That was hard to watch because you're like, he's so open. And the view on the TV, Mitch, I don't know if you saw this, was you were from the far end zone looking down. Mm-hmm. And so when he threw the pass, you're like, no way. How is this going to be converted? And then it like fell like 5 yards short. And you're like, whoa, what the heck just happened?
Yeah, that was bad. But it worked out for BYU because then Washington State had to attempt a 2-point conversion. And BYU's defense stood firm and got the win again. BYU gets it done, 21-19. Now 6-2 on the season. And next week, They take on Bronco Mendenhall and the Virginia Cavaliers, who got their sixth win. They took down Georgia Tech tonight. So 2-6-2 teams and a reunion of Bronco Mendenhall and his staff in Provo. We'll be back on the airwaves on KSL in our usual spot, noon to 3, next week on Cougar Sports Saturday. So early thoughts on Bronco's return to Provo?
Man, that's going to be a tough game, because UVA, they are unashamed in their style of play. They're going to throw the football all over the field. Now, Brennan Armstrong, the Virginia quarterback, he's prone to throw a couple interceptions, so if you could take advantage of that, that would be great. I think ultimately it's going to come down to, again, can BYU run the football like they did against Washington State? Unable to do so in their two losses. They've run it well in their six wins. If they can run the football, I think they can beat Virginia, but it's going to be a wild game. Hopefully, a few guys did get banged up, but if you can get Harris LeChance back, based on what we saw with James Empey, you know, I'm not reporting this, but it doesn't look like he's playing against Virginia after being on crunches. So if you get LeChance back, Tukuwafu played, Connor Pager center, Clark Barrington, Blake Freeland, Tyler Algier, Jaren, like, you're pretty good offensively. So it's going to be a fun game, though.
Yeah, Virginia's got a bad defense, which is crazy to say, but I got to think Bronco is going to have a scheme in place that's maybe going to have some wrinkles in there that BYU better be at executing at a high level, to take a term from Bronco, for that offense to succeed. Because, you know, Bronco, I think that staff's going to pull out all the stops. That's what's going to be so interesting about that game, is that the intensity is going to be there. I don't think it's going to be a sellout because it's Halloween and trick-or-treating and all that, but two staffs that are going to be motivated, and I think their players are going to be wanting to win for their respective coaches. So that's going to be one heck of a ball game. We'll have coverage throughout the week on KSLSports.com, KSL News Radio. Going to be a lot of fun. So for Mitch Harper, Matt Biamonte, this has been Cougar Sports Saturday and Cougar Tracks podcast on KSLSports.com.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.